Yes.
Thank you.
a list of speed signs, with speakers?
Yeah, I got that. I gave John.
Give Mr. Johnson the address.
Yeah. Now, 7 o'clock, call of order, the December 22nd, 2014, regular meeting of the Blue Mountain County Planning Commission. First item on the agenda tonight is the call of order. Pledge allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Sound like we're getting feedback. The next item on our agenda is the director's report. Mr. Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Biff. We have a few items to report. DMP 1403, I have Young Builders, rezoning case that was recommended for approval by the commission back in October was definitely deferred. That's what we're meeting last week. That's what was it happening. The vague certain factors.
Yeah, they basically said that there was a call that said that they wanted to address some things and discuss it about the
in office.
Probably.
And also the BZA 1402 and 1403, JWS Enterprises, field determination by the zoning administrator, those two cases were deferred.
Thank you. Do you want to have any questions, Mr. Stewart? Okay, if not, next item is, at this time we don't have public comment. Seeing no one, no public here, but we'll move on to the next item, which is the approval of minutes. Do I have a motion or discussion about the minutes?
I move we accept the minutes as listed. There's no discussion.
I don't know whether you can actually.
Oh, I can't do anything. But I can't do anything. I defied the law order.
In anticipation of your point, Mr. Chairman, I had already written Mr. Simmons.
There you go. Right.
We have a motion by Mr.
I just thought I'd wait there a little
bit. Server to accept the minutes as presented. Do we have a second? Second by Mr. Deaver. No, the basic plan we have with none of the other items on the agenda, the site development plan, the subdivision, the public hearing, and we'll go right to the unfinished business, the comprehensive land review, continued discussion of goals and objectives for all chapters. I think we left off at economic development, if that's right. And I'm using the original sheets that Mr. Zimmer did some motion for. That way I can keep up if we've had so many different copies.
Before we start, does anybody need a copy, including Mr. Page? Do you want a copy of the goals? Is that not necessary? Whenever the commission is, and you are correct, Mr. Chairman, we were ready to go into economic development. The one that I brought this evening incorporates everything we in some of the things that Mr. Zimmer had recommended taking out that we then talked about at a clinic, at a work session. Those should be back in there. Additionally, the in the comprehensive plan, the infrastructure section, the part about recycling and the convenience center has been restored. It's on our conversation.
So should we use that?
You can't. I don't think anything should have changed from economic development onwards because it's new. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Section 5, economic development. What I noticed that on, unless you want to go to tell us about this, or do you want to go forward with what Mr. Zimmer's comments were? Do you want to go to those items, or do we want to go each item?
I had anticipated that we would just go through item by item, starting with five, but if you prefer to do
that. That's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, that should be the whole.
That's all. Right.
Yeah, I would go back with a page or so over there. Well, the education, I'm sorry, this is two things put together. The education is that chapter that we just received from schools. And then, so we're at Roman numeral 5.
And thank you for reminding me. The front two pages that you received are, of course, the education chapter that is just finished up. I made a typo on this. Do you mean what should be 2, number 1, to protect rural areas through economic development, or the actual?
No, mine says 3, but it should be 2.
Okay. And so which part? Implementable things like the land use, although as Mr. Biff pointed out, that is mentioned elsewhere.
entity as opposed to, you know, just the CPA zone? I think one of the concerns was the density levels, but I thought there was a chart, if you would, that allowed you to specify a level of density and can that be applied to CPA zones, because it seems like it could be a useful tool, but it runs, and part of what we say there on the contrary, part of what we say in terms of a lot of flexibility in housing, creating zoning that establishes density and mixed uses. So there's a little bit of contrary there. I do get the point of, you know, density being too high in certain areas. And so I'm not trying to, you know, discourage it, but I'm also trying to make sure that we aren't locking ourselves in a position where we don't have flexibility for, you know, a particular project we might put that in that. You know, I think by definition, PUD probably requires an acreage size that's pretty significant to begin with. So I was just kind of a question out there in terms of where how much flexibility do we have in the way to manage that.
I had talked to them earlier today, and later on in the meeting, I was going to make a suggestion that the Planning Commission ask the Planning Department to work up some new ordinance as far as the PUD and bring it to us in February.
So if that's the case, should we be saying that in the comprehensive plan that we're restricting to that, if in fact we're going to look at it then?
Well, I think we discussed that, and that's what we had decided to do. We've talked about that numerous times, and we had decided that we wanted to limit them to PUDs to design crossroads at this time.
Well, then, so my point
is, we can always go back and change that at a later date, but I think we should leave it in.
Again, I'm just saying it kind of runs contrary to another point that you make here, to allow flexibility. So if you're just limiting to one area, and if we're going to look at it again.
Well,
again,
you said we're
just wondering, and again, I'm not, that's why I asked the question in terms of if the density is changed in different CPA zones, is it still a flexible tool from a planning perspective or not? And if it isn't, then, you know, because the reason we're taking it out is because we don't want very large, high density development areas in Palmyra, for example, or Fort Union. We don't want those.
Well, all over the state, counties are having problems with PUD.
I think it's because it's interpreted differently between the community and the developer of the roadway. Is that the last name? The developer had a very different idea than what the community wanted, and that caused us to if we say we do it, that
we
have the right.
Oh, no, and I agree. And as you know, I'm one of the ones that said, hey, you know, if you don't want it, come and take it away. And I'm not arguing against changing it. I'm just saying, as a tool, if you look at the density levels, and maybe, you know, I think if I remember the matrix, it's, you know, said it needs 10% commercial. Like, for example, as a tool, if you say in the CPA zone, X area, you have this level of commercial residential.
What I would suggest is they bring that to us with the density stuff in February, and then we could readdress this particular one. Even if we did the comprehensive plan, we could always go back and make an amendment to that. And I think that we as a group in our discussion had decided that that's what we wanted, and I think that's the language that we put in there for that purpose.
I think you saw various iterations of Walker's Ridge, some other things that that's kind of what the community is looking for. Everybody understands about development, I think. You know, the PUD and design crossroads, I think everything needs some opposition. If there was a PUD to propose in there, I think it would have significant opposition publicly than anything we did in Walker's Ridge. I think there's a good consensus in the community that that's a good place for things like that. The other ones are probably.
It might be helpful if I can read from the zoning ordinance on the PUD real quick. Planned unit development should be located within established to provide unified development and incorporates new urbanism and traditional neighborhood development principles, which include a mix of residential and commercial uses, an interconnected system of internal roads, pedestrian sidewalks and walkways, and well-planned access points along existing roadways. In addition to a mix of residential and commercial uses, planned developments should also provide a mix and variety of housing types. So just especially the part about it meeting the goals of the community, planning area. Again, not advocating one way or another, but when, if we were to consider other planning areas in addition to Zion, I think that would be the question to look at is, would a PUD fit what the goals of that planning area are? And as an example, the people from Palmyra that came out kind of said that they would feel that way. So that's sort of what I would look at.
And again, my other point is as a planning tool, does it have flexibility and can it be restricted in such a way that it meets the goals while providing the intent of what you would say? So in other words, if a density of 21 is too high with a mix of 10, is a density of 8 with a mix of 20 flexibility enough?
And that would be my own point. There are density ranges in the comprehensive plan that would help determine that, but then there are specific density limits in the zoning ordinance that would also directly affect that. So I think the answer to your question is yes, it could very much be tailored if that's what the commission wished to do. Jason or Mr. Payne might want to weigh in here on what I'm saying, but I feel like if that is what the commission wanted to do, yes, it could be tailored to the different planning areas.
Just my thoughts, I don't need to say anything about it.
Well, I think we should leave it like it is, and if we need to make any adjustments after we work with the ordinance, work with the densities that we've talked about, possibly changing the densities of some of the other areas. So those densities and all were done off the fact that we were going to be required to have the urban development. Which, and all of that was done off, all those figures were got off the plan because of that, and that's no longer required. That study that was done by the state, or paid for by the state, was got those densities because of that. Y'all in favor of leaving it? The game?
That's the offer incentives?
Yeah. How are we going to, how can that county afford offer incentives?
There are, one of those could be something along the lines of fast track permitting, which would be little or no cost to the county, but would provide, you know, money in the form of time to a developer.
Thank you.
number six, as a planning department, consider that possibility of a date of 12/2015. Can y'all accomplish what it's talking about by then?
For number six, streamlining the application and permitting process by next year at this time?
What I mean is consider designated by right some uses which currently require special use permit.
Well, we can certainly bring that forward as quickly as need be. And part of it would, of course, be identifying which uses, which we have done some of and could present them to you at any time.
I was just wondering if that's realistic.
I think so. We have had some involved us as staff and commission discussing the ordinance as we do periodically. See if there's any changes we'd like to make.
Number nine, I think Mr. Miller had a problem with that too, and I was wondering how is planning going to accomplish providing a more educated, skilled workforce through the. Even if so, that should be in the educational chapter anyway. So we're going to eliminate that.
Which one was that?
The number amount is say provide a more educated and skilled workforce.
I think I removed it based on Mr. Zimmer's requests previously.
Isn't Mr. Popovich working with other regional areas about economic development?
Yes, sir.
Because there's one that Mr. Zimmer was talking about taking that out, but he is already doing that, right? So I know he's been working with different groups. But we already, well, we were at one time doing some work with other counties.
It's been a long time, a couple of months since I was previous, so I'm trying to remember why.
Develop a stronger regional presence.
They're not in there because of the
right. I
put it back in.
I'd like to show me in there myself.
Which one was that?
Develop stronger regional presence, 1, 2, and 3.
Add back in 2 and 3.
1, 2, and 3.
1 and 3.
We are doing that in, to a certain extent, huh?
So
should
we be there?
No, I said, we're just trying to figure this out. We're looking at all the programs.
Yeah. So we're going to put 1, 2, and 3 back.
Well, and you could argue that that's a continuing effort, right. Continue coordinating efforts on that side. There'll be potential opportunities. Somebody who's going to be live on the head side of the area. So.
And in the next section, we were talking about eliminating 1 and 2. Study the enactment of ordinance that would provide our reservation. You got it?
Yep.
Historic conservation zones are there in the county?
I think they have
define historic zones?
Right.
I'll find it.
But my thought was establishing zones before we do this, if we even want to.
Now, I'm going to educate the community regarding the history of the county. It is, that would be the fact that the historic society.
Yes, sir.
We do have to have a complete story department, and I think that would be duplicate the historic society, they look at it to oversee.
So we're gonna take out one and two, and leave three and four?
Number four, will we pay for that?
No, and.
Well, actually, they do it from streetscape, or beginning to do some streetscape in 14, right?
Yes.
That's the grant.
Yeah, and most of that stuff.
And how is that grant secured, in the historic society or the county?
Well, that was not a historic streetscape, so I think that's just the county. But again, maybe you can say it before, I guess I would, we don't have any historic heritage yet. We don't have anywhere where we can do this, maybe the exception of that, we would have a lot of green hat.
If you want to hear my thought on that, I've been through historic districts in several jurisdictions, and this is, you're making a big step, historic zone, historic districts. And there are lots of, on its face, it sounds like a good idea, but when you start mandating historic district controls, it stops being encouraged this because it's an important cultural feature and becomes somebody telling you how to manage your problem. And it's, Mrs. Eager and I were talking about this on the way over tonight, and it's, I gotta tell you, I think it was a disaster.
What's the biggest thing that you've run into with that?
It's, the decisions that are made are almost entirely subjective. And the example I gave Mrs. Eager was that if you want to do something in downtown Charleston, the first thing you do is make it look like a courthouse. And the problem is the courthouse does not always look like that. And what I've said to people many times is that if you really want to make your new building in downtown Charleston look like the 1859 Alamo County Courthouse, then it has to have Moorish peaked windows and yellow stucco, because that's the way the courthouse looked in 1859. It's not the way it looks now, but it was then. And the problem is, if you have an old building, you know, Savannah County Courthouse, 1830, you want to make the other buildings around it look like 1830 or 1930, 1990, some period, some point in between. And what tends to come out with is, try as they will, and I've no doubt these people are, and the artificial review board members are in absolute good faith, but try as they will, what they end up doing is saying, I think that looks good. And it really, I look out the front window of my office, and I see the red brick pavement. There was never red brick pavement on the streets in downtown Charleston from 1761 on. So why does that serve a historic purpose? And I mean, I could give you hundreds of examples of this. It works the same way in Alamo County, except Alamo County sort of got away from the historic thing. They just like to manage everything.
Well, I see it happening because I live close to discussion, some of the things that the architectural review board has there is, like one place had windows that were installed in the 50s. So they decided since they were sold by 50s, they couldn't change those windows to keep the air from coming in and the heat going out because it had these little dust strips and stuff like that. So, and one place was going to replace a window, and the window was rotten. So they were going to make sure it had the exact measurements and the exact crisscrosses that the window was. And this building is in very bad shape.
Well, I can tell you, for example, my house is in the historic, downtown historic district of Charleston, and one thing I would like to do is pave the driveway. But if you do that, you have to get approved by the architectural review board. Our next door neighbors who are renters put in a paved a little patio area about the size of this table. And they didn't know they needed any approval because it's behind the last foot fence. The city came in and made them get architectural review board approval of that. And it was about 2 pallets of bricks, and the guy did it all himself, and they stopped to work on it and made it get approved. And I'd say 95% of people who go by there don't know it's there. My personal experience and personal and professional experience with this is very negative. And you certainly have the authority to do it, and if you think it's worth it to do it, that's fine. But I'm telling you, you better be very circumspect about it because it does have a lot of unexpected consequences, including the fact that people say, if it's going to be that much trouble, I just won't do it.
That should make it clear that I wasn't advocating starting establishing the historic stuff. I was advocating that we don't need to do this other stuff until we have something. So.
Who's saying? Yeah. I don't mean to be out of line, but you didn't hear that.
One thing to consider is, you know, the county may at some point in time set itself the treasurer's building, some of those buildings there that will argue will have some flavor and character to the feeling of the historic aspect of whether or not whether, well, since we have nothing, we should have somebody who potentially applies us with an option. But, I don't know, it's actually a good idea. Is it necessarily in that flavor of the country of Palmyra? I don't think there's anything preventing that.
Sure.
I don't know. There is, right?
Yeah, there is in this case because the county owns it. The county owns the real estate.
They sell it.
The county could restrict it.
So
when they sell it.
Trying to restrict it, we'll do the ordinance and do it by the restriction. And that's, to my mind, that's a perfectly appropriate exercise because in that case, you're not doing it so much as an exercise of police power as a proprietary act of an abutting property. That's an entirely different question.
So we just have to remember that.
When you have a property like that where you got to talk to about, you probably need $1 million repairs to update the electricity and stuff like that. That would be an example that would be kind of a hard one to work with.
Well, my point only there is somebody could buy it, demolish it, and do it whatever they wanted to. That's my only point without the restriction. So that would be something you may want to consider.
The difference would be just, I'm not suggesting this is going to happen or should be going to happen, but for our church, the county doesn't own that. Mm-hmm. Let's say the church want to sell it and somebody want to come in and buy it and build a Frank Lloyd Wright house there. They would be tempted to do that. I kind of doubt that it would be a good idea economically.
That's that point out, there's really no other area that you might consider doing that.
On number three, would it make sense to change district to site? In other words, make it read install appropriate signage designated as a historic site, landmark, or other believe that's District Cadillac.
I would think so, because we don't have any districts.
Well, that's why I figured that would be a better.
But I think it should say with the land owners permission, because it looks kind of hosted.
Well.
Put a sign out front, because if it's what you're living in a house, and someone says, oh, I think I'm gonna look at that house building, maybe team five.
Well, you could, but your point is either is well taken. My house was built in 1901. A lot of people don't think that's historic. I don't think it's particularly historic. A lot of people do. Does that mean that they should be able to come and drop through my kitchen just to see what a 1901 house looked like? They don't. And the county put up a sign there, wouldn't be permitted to say that. The county could do that on public property, couldn't do it on your property.
That's what I mean. I don't mind if they want to put signs up all over from my road, plus a grove.
Well, for example, one thing you might do, county might do in this regard, this is completely different matter, is the visitor center at Pleasant Grove. You might very well take a list of significant, historically, architecturally significant houses, a picture of them listed. Well, I don't think you need permission of land owner just to have a picture of the house and put it up. You certainly can't say that Mrs. Eagle will be glad to meet you at the little coffee.
Probably would.
You know, it's like, we already have a sign at the courthouse.
Yeah.
Well, I think other than just houses, I mean, there are other things that are significant too. The Lumber Cabin is obviously an example. The build down here, there was the other one that built a jail and the old mill, right, the old Palmyra mill down here. Now, obviously, the Historic Society owns those, but neat. You have one of the things that might be of interest would be, for example, a sign for the canal facilities at Crofton. The county would certainly do something like that.
I have a sign that I put on my house.
So we're going to leave three and take out the others?
Yeah, change.
And change that to site.
And I think you should also put the landowner's permission.
Do you think we should put with landowner's permission?
Put the sign up.
Well, they're not going to do it, be able to do it if that's a.
Well, the county can't put something on your property.
That's what I thought.
But they can't put it in the VDOT right away. So if it.
Well, they might be able to put it in the VDOT right away. The VDOT has programs to allow that kind of thing, whether they do it in a particular case. But you might very well say, you know, there are lots of VDOT signs that say things like historic site up here. That's sort of 2 miles from where the people. Or, you know, just sign
where the name was on.
They say hysterics.
I know four at one time that were talking about doing some streetscape stuff in Paramara itself, and, you know, lighting and stuff like that. But I don't know what we need that before. Do you think we should leave?
I think that doesn't hurt to leave it, and you know, part of it, the county in sort of its track tourism approach to things, you know, highlighting certain areas and making a mile of one of the points or wherever one of the points that we're talking about, just adds to a reason why somebody might want to come. There's some flexibility to say, well, we've got sure, as you mentioned.
I grew up in a whole town in Portsmouth. There were plenty of little signs about houses and so on. Didn't mean that it trips there. Where my houses were eight, or a sign like that. Lots of people stopped and looked at the house. Occasionally, you might have something about it. I went to the door and said, no, that was pretty rare. Certainly, a lot more people got it, of course, from there. They could provide steps in the room.
Jay, on the next one, did you combine that? You already combined that?
Which one is it?
The identify and classify significant historic resources. Because I agree with Mr. Zimmer, it says the same thing in so much of these four items. If you look at one and two especially, I mean, it's basically saying the exact same thing.
I agree that it's very redundant. I think it repeats itself to show that they meant business about it, but I don't think they all need to be there.
Can we combine all of that together to make one sensible goal?
One through four?
Yeah.
Sure.
Y'all agree?
It's like you already did that. Yeah, one thing you did that was.
I think you did too, but I just wanted to make sure. Because we had discussed it. He changed some of these before we actually had to have a discussion. But we were putting them like in back that we took out. I didn't bring the new copy with me. How did you change that before? Y'all have a copy of it where?
I thought you was being added by Mr. Moore, who had the kind of historical society efforts about the sites and different information in the society's archives, and I guess that's the case. And I have seen partnerships with higher education, medical aid, and the identification and possible rehabilitation of historic resources.
Does that sound good? More firefighters, but those first two just look like that they're a repetition in a way of the same thing.
I don't know if you were referring to this. Yeah, seems like a line. But the one you're holding is current. Mr. O'Brien has his current, I don't know.
Current, yeah.
They're looking at something else.
Okay. I'm looking at, we're just looking at the original.
Oh, okay. That's what I'm saying. Like, we just went through something and basically done it all. So we're repeating ourselves.
He went through and changed some of those things with the observer's comments, and we had discussed it.
Right, but I'm saying this document that he's handed out has most of those changes, and so you're looking at the whole document. Says that.
Yeah.
And so we're going backwards and then going forwards.
That's what I stated when we first started the meeting, that we would be using this particular document.
Okay. Sorry, Mr. Brown, I'll have one of the older ones for you.
It's fine. Good.
The, actually, the older one is also on the, you don't have the iPad with you.
No, I've got my phone right here. Look at that.
It's on there also with his.
No, it's just confusing because I think it's made it confusing for them because we're kind of rehashing some of the things that have already been done.
We have to have it.
We have.
I mean, he updated the edited version just with my input that I had dropped off since.
I see. Yeah. So they haven't been hashed out.
Exactly. Exactly. They haven't hashed out. Number five,
page 9.
Include
number five or number.
It would be two for you, the last one.
Like the D one right before we go to Parks and Rec, include the rehabilitation or restoration of historic, cultural, or recreational resources.
almost certainly be completely implemented by the Historical Society if I were to write down who was implementing it. As the county's organized now, and as we rely on those, you know, non-government organizations, that's who I would say is implementing it. So it wouldn't cost the county anything, but there wouldn't be any way to compel either.
This is one you might actually use. This might have some practical implications, because if you had, for example, housing development that had a required minimum recreational area, and let's say there was a historic structure on the site, and they had been there on the site, and they could satisfy their recreational requirement for the zoning ordinance by staying at the park. You know, let's say you had an old building on the property, even if it was in ruins or essentially gone, they could establish a park around that building and restore the building. I'm just making that up for an example.
The Hayden House.
Hayden House would be an example.
And that might
be
because it costs a lot of money to do that.
No, I'm not suggesting that. The development.
Yeah, that's what I read into that when it said development project. I assumed that a lot of that cost was $4,500.
Yeah.
You know, for example, you have a park that you dedicated to Buck Pace, and you include a baseball field on it, because Buck Pace is a baseball park. I'm just making that up, but I mean, that's an example of what I did.
So on the current sheet, that would be the one that was reduced down to just 3.1. So the objective right before the one we just looked at. And it says, market the historic qualities of Havana and the surrounding area to encourage heritage tourism in the region. And I had not put down yet who that would be tasked to, but it would be, again, a combination of the Historical Society and the Department of Community Development, specifically economic.
Projects that are appropriate for compatible with surrounding historic sites. I don't know what that stuff has to do with it. That's why I scratched that. Didn't seem to be a complete.
It doesn't really say.
We're not in the real estate business, you know, and you sort of have to be able to implement that.
And when we get to number to the Parks and Recreation, that I would just trying to add a question to my mind, why you thought we should eliminate 1 and 2.
I do not see a problem with that. So the way I had, and I believe I had a
attempted to combine them in one of them. So to upgrade or maintain existing facilities to allow for effective program delivery and community use was the goal that became, with two objectives underneath it. One was continue to develop Pleasant Grove as a primary location for major new facilities, using the updated Pleasant Grove master plan as a guide. And what that one does is it eliminates all of the other Pleasant Grove talk, because that's all there now, and they have their master plan. So, you know, for there are just goals and objectives scattered throughout about Pleasant Grove. You'd be talking about Crofton and Pleasant Grove was in there or something. So that was set up to organize Pleasant Grove into one area. And then the second objective was to continue to adequately maintain facilities to ensure healthy and safe environments for recreational activities and programs through interagency cooperation. So that's how I have it combined. I'd be happy to go back to the original four and recombine it in a different way if that's not emphasizing what you want. So that would be up to the planning commission. I could put that goal back in there about game and inland fisheries, or it can stay on. It's probably just an experience with the auto numbering feature, but it seems like every time I add or remove something, every number of the entire document wants to change to something. I did reduce that one down quite a bit to just be one goal under expanding customer outreach using contemporary technology, was to allow them in the future, if they need to expand their capacity for technology, to be able to utilize the capital plan. that seemed like a reason to have it in there. As far as the objective underneath, it's wordy and it's something we can do, but it didn't seem like there should be a goal with no objective.
Are we at the maintaining this partnership with the school system? Is that?
Yeah.
We skipped over that one, but we can look at that one as well.
Well, I think we should leave that, but
sure.
Because of the fact that we've had to work with them, and there were conflicts occasionally, but what it used to be the high school, that's the middle school, and they've got some fields, and there was a conflict at one time whether the recreation could use those or something like that, so.
If the planning commission wanted, I could certainly shorten some of the details of the customer outreach technology. I don't know that the comprehensive plan needs to discuss email blasts and social media. I think that's all implied in contemporary technology.
Something a little more generic, forget the A and B, but maybe expand just a little bit the strategy to that. Because we have a lot more park facilities that could use enhancement or could use improvement, but just really not.
Oh, so you're saying make it more generic, like don't, like name more parks or name no parks in it?
I would probably name no parks.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Sure. Yes, sir. Adding that. There's nothing else with that one. I guess I think we can move to council.
Number 2,
And regarding the timelines, I had envisioned the final table as opposed to the specific dates. It would be more of time ranges, so, you know, immediate, within 6 months, within 1 year, within 5 years, ongoing, that sort of thing. Or use Mr. Zimmer's dates if you prefer.
There's no science in that. Okay, stop with that.
And I kind of agree with the number on the three. We're already doing that. I mean, and we've done a lot of that already, but we changed a little bit to accomplish that.
I think if you want to keep the record more specific about what we're talking about, I don't know what that's really specific about.
The combining them?
No, not the three.
Oh, right.
Two ordinances.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine.
Sure. Well, I mean, I think you're right. Continue to pursue is. So on the final updated, well not final, two, on the newest version, it had been reduced to two goals. The second one, which I think covers what you're discussing, would be just to provide a variety of well-planned housing choices. And then there are six objectives underneath that, which were intended to cover all of the things that were in that set of goals.
That number four. Didn't we already do that? Did we put some in some of the ordinance?
You're right. That was one of the ones we discussed earlier.
The bonus incentives, did we put that in?
Some
of the ordinances already. I'm not talking about here. I'm talking about existing ordinances.
Is it already in the ordinance?
The density bonus?
Yeah,
there are density bonuses in given situations in the ordinance.
Do we really need that?
I'm not sure that they, as they're written, get at rewarding mixed income developments. That would be something I'd possibly need to look into and make sure. If that is covered, then we can certainly eliminate it. I would say that it should. If we're crafting it, we would like to craft it in a way that it does. Obviously, they, you know. Sure, exactly. And nobody does a better job meeting the goals of mixed income development than they would. So if we find in the ordinance that it wouldn't cover them for some reason, then that would be something else that we'd like to bring to your attention. But I would think that if it does cover mixed income, it would cover them.
So in the new one we have, I'm looking at number four.
That's redundant, we've already covered it somewhere else.
Are we not getting services?
I think so. Down to number three, Mr. Summer, suggested we get rid of that, and he wrote signs in there,
It's okay.
Yeah, okay.
That container, it's got this, medical establishment.
Right.
It's still on that day.
I just wanted us to discuss.
And that was my point, is that there's two, both UVA and Martin Jefferson have facilities out there now.
Yeah. I wish some, in my own thinking, I wish we had some things like that that were more centrally located in the county. That's the bad thing about it, is that we're doing, because a lot of people fight for, my side of the county, because that property is a long way.
We live in the Charleston.
Right, exactly. We just got the education, so, we need to take a look at that before we go forward there, right?
Sure, as far as looking at it, and I guess.
And we're still waiting for public safety.
That's correct.
We just got education this week, right?
Correct, the end of last week.
So we're going over to the national sustainability.
That's correct, Mr. Gaines had previously mentioned that he wanted to go into that chapter in general a bit more.
I'm not going to go back to the, actually, I'm not banning the chapter at all.
Sure.
So, but I'm not going to let any perfect union do it. So I'm just going to blame at this time, drop my intention, I still don't like the chapter. However, it's in here, that's reasoning it as reasonable for those that choose that should, for those that want to be
sure
as reasonable as possible.
And I'm certainly not going to try and convince you to get back on that horse, but just for your information, you know, we have time if it bothers you going out up against the wall or anything like that.
Not like a week, you can definitely go through it. I mean,
at your pleasure or
whatever. No, that's true. So let's read through it.
We're going to look at the goal.
Yeah.
Tonight, because we don't have.
Sure.
I didn't bring my copy of it because that wasn't.
Right. I didn't mean this evening, I just meant in general. We can still, it's something we can revisit.
Yeah, and I don't understand your reasoning for eliminating number one, because that's something that basically required.
Well, it's required by law. So I'm thinking, you don't put that into the strategy or goal we have in the comprehensive plan, because it's not something we can ignore. We can, by putting in there that when we establish zoning ordinances, we comply with all federal law. Well, of course we do, so we wouldn't put that in there. That's my thing. It's just one more thing in there that really doesn't add anything to this document, because it's already required.
Yeah, I understand it too, but I just wondered if it should be stated in there for I have a little bit of thought about whether we should take it out or leave. We've seen what we had a discussion about
properties that can make a profit in the county. Which is how, because it's either revenue neutral or positive.
Positive impact.
So that.
And how we gauge it is positive impact.
I think the way that's worded, I'm not sure, maybe we should ask Mr. Payne.
I'm trying to follow this, and I'm not sure I'm following.
I believe you have the more up-to-date sheet, and the one that we have some goals that I had combined.
The bad part about it completely is the fact we don't have a proper program.
That's really not true. We don't have the kind of proper program that the county would count on. We do, our ordinance does provide for the county property. And we do have these things. I don't have a problem with this language as is the word's positive impact, because I don't believe that is saying that
we not go back to profit.
Profit really isn't the right word because it's different from the accounting system. But I don't think it means the county's got to come in, got to be able to put cash in its pocket and walk away for general impact things. But for example, if you have a proper that called for furnishing of a recreational facility at the county park, I think you could fairly characterize that as having a positive impact on the county. Not the county making money on it.
Right.
But that would be a positive impact. So I really have a problem with that.
Okay.
What does establish level of service standards for must be ready residential commercial and industrial as a condition of zoning activity?
Levels of service, it's different depending on which service you're talking about. So for example, a level of service for the parks would be 1 acre of parkland per 100 children. For schools, it could be, 500 square feet of classroom per 100, those sorts of things. So they're out there for looking at, like when the Parks Department does their master plan, they look at those sorts of levels of service instead of the schools. So we would just research the various levels of service and sort of establish them. And what they do is when I'm figuring out what our proper is, I start by figuring out, you start with these levels of service and figure out how many students you have, and that tells you, for example, how many acres of new school you would need. So it goes back to that. By having standard established levels of service, it would just make everything a little more clear and upfront, particularly when we're dealing with people's, rezonings and propers and things like that. There'd be less of appearance of subjectivity and more, but this was upfront what the level of service was.
Does that also, like in some of that zoning where they have to supply certain things like, I can't think exactly what I'm saying now, but like if some of you have like the A, B, C's and they have to provide certain amount of services in a development, is that part of what we're talking about here, or is that, we talked about that in a different spot also?
I'm not certain that that's always related, but those could be tied to your levels of service, and those A, B, and C could be related to the levels of service that we established if we have to.
So should that really be in the seek to maximize revenue stream from the county?
It would be, technically, I guess it would be more of seek to minimize revenue loss for new development.
I have a question. We have
No, you're correct, that shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
Everything I've ever read said that we really don't want to do that unless we want to discourage economic development, so I think you're 100% right there, I'll make a note to eliminate that.
They don't really have any money, possibly fire department.
They pay more than their fair share, that's the idea, is that commercial and industrial, they pay more than their share of those services.
Well, you might very well use a profit, for example, with industrial use, so.
What about level of service, is it waiting to?
Access road.
Would it be possible for, so you can allow access road?
Well, I'm thinking of one that would actually upgrade more than they would need themselves.
Or connect to an existing.
Right, yeah, or something like that. Water line, you might put in a water line where, you know, let's say, the lines, I think I'm getting a little ahead of this, but let's say industrial use came in, it was a heavy water user, and there wasn't public water available in that area. It built an extension of a public water line, which was not entirely needed by it, but it was needed by it, but all of the capacity wasn't needed. But if they built the line, then they would get some credit for having over greater than its capacity.
Like they did at Tenasco, some years ago, when they had to increase the size of that pipe.
No, that was a little different because we were actually going to have lease that. I'm thinking of using development to extend public infrastructure.
And then we could, by doing that, then we could attach over to it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Could we make it two sentences or two, like, add another strategy and separate the two?
This would be a 2.2, no, it's going to be 2.1 if you're in financial sustainability.
I guess you could. It's the same concept, just a different application for non-residential use.
Yeah. I like the idea of separating because it's not including businesses. It's just different. And I think the businesses will understand that, okay, I need the water, and I can work with the county, and they can decide to supply water to two areas. But the level of service standard, I think that is on the changing times. So if you can separate it out, structure it to children.
I don't see it separate.
I don't have a problem with separating them, but if you feel more comfortable with it.
Yeah. And I don't know if some of that could actually be part of the master.
Oh, my. Imagine water plant would have to be involved in something like that. True. We do want to be in a position to say if the developer comes in and says, I need public water here, you need to be in a position to address it.
And say we have water at this point, it's up to you.
Right. Yes, you want to bring it on to each other. You need to buy the property where the water is. You want to buy the property somewhere else, and you need water, and except you need to bring that water line. And maybe the county would supply it, would participate in the cost, or, you know, something like that. That's not an uncommon thing to do.
When we get down here to number six, down that furrow, and I'm going to ask y'all, what do we think we really need that at all? Because now we're doing ROI studies, return on investment studies, and we put that in 2009. We haven't done anything with it. I just don't know whether it's practical to. The one that says establish a financial sustainability task force consistent with county officials and citizens.
tell you, my thinking on number four is, well, we don't have in here continually make sure the toilet's flush at the county court. And, you know, that right there is.
I think that's an excellent idea.
Yeah, yeah, but we don't have to, we don't feel we need that in the comprehensive plan. And this right here is the same thing, this is just something that they're either doing, or supervisors need to hold accountable. It's not really something.
Well, I think at the time that this was put into the comprehensive plan, I would say, I hope we. Some of the stuff wasn't managed as well as it is now.
And I suspect that things like that are probably why Mr. Gaines has some issues with this chapter. There seems to be some unspoken undertones in some of this, which that strikes me as one. That maybe it pointed out a significant problem 5 years ago. If we're not doing that, then board supervisors are doing their oversight job.
You could say that, you know, an audit every 5 years of best practices by a group, you know, enacted for 3 months might be a useful thing. I think very vague to say, you know, let's establish a task force for that in time of termination. That's helpful. That helps probably be much better. No, I know you wanted the other one, but I didn't just in that sort of general tenor. Certainly, the board supervisors have that responsibility, and certainly you could see a change in tenor where the county administrator doesn't act the way our current county administrator has. I would say that there's a lot more transparency in general. You feel better books, and by all measures, it's relatively easy to see where we compare to other counties. I think we provide a pretty good benchmark. By just looking at how other counties, where we are in relationship to other counties, to know whether there's any real waste or excess going on. So, to hear a lot of those things kind of pull themselves out.
Does anybody disagree that we should take it out? Number four.
Four, five, six.
So, exactly. That whole section is gone. I want to work on the next page. There was one thing that I don't know whether we skipped over it or not, and looking through it now, I can't find it. It was talking about recycling in the county, and Mr. Gaines had talked about eliminating that. And I just have a problem with that because of the fact that they have to meet certain standards. But also, some years ago, they were talking about closing down the landfill and recycling center at Fort Union, which myself would think that would be the worst thing they ever did. Fact that the only recycling and so forth like that would be in trash disposal area would be assigned to Crossroads. So what we would have is additional fire because people were burning trash on the property. We would have trash scattered from this end of the one end of the county to the other end of the county. Plus, a lot of people would stop recycling because they're not going to drive to Zion's Crossroads, and it kind of eliminates the idea of recycling because you're going to be burning that much more gas and so forth to pull the thing. So anywhere, there was somewhere.
I put it back in after our conversation this morning, and so it should be in the infrastructure section, which is 3, like the orange one, and it's goal 4, and it's objectives 1 and 2. To maintain a comprehensive long-range solid waste management program, and then the objective is to continue the annual collection of household hazardous waste and publicize the importance of the program, and then the second one is continue a countywide education program on the advantages of waste reduction, composting, recycling, and reuse, and continue to utilize the recycling
recycling center at the county landfill site.
And also the fact that at our landfill site here, they take used motor oil free. And if you did have something like that, where it goes to the motor oil is going to go? It's going to go in the ground, in the river, everywhere else. So I just.
Does the county take things?
That I'm not.
I see.
So there's a program that we just re-approved, which is, you know, sort of this once Earth Day kind of program. The Earth Day, that's when you can bring in.
All of the
products that you can't dispose of in the landfills.
I think the answer is not routine.
No, not routine, but once a year you can do that.
But yet I see right beside the oil bins and so forth, or cans there at the thing, I see occasionally, I see paint cans sitting beside that.
Charleston, South Carolina, calls me, takes paint and then makes it into other paint and company just buy it for their little. It's kind of, all gray.
Very safe.
Makes it a little lighter.
Do y'all disagree with my thoughts on that?
No.
Okay.
I think we're through that, and now we're, the only thing we'll have to come back to is the two chapters, the school system and the public safety.
So timeline of getting something for public safety?
They are working really hard on it, but hopefully very soon.
She's doing the best she can. Heard of gas.
I'm glad it's a question.
Yeah, she has a lot of people to ask for data.
Have any of y'all had trouble with your messages coming to your iPad? Like, I had mine and had received it. As soon as I opened it up, like four or five popped up. Now I rebooted it. It seemed like it's working better now. And I also, there was some bug fixes and a problem. That they had to redo stuff. So I don't know if anybody else had that problem.
I didn't touch that one. You want to change it?
It'll ask you every time.
Sorry to bounce back to one item, but on the natural environment, we talked a little bit about this in that water session meeting that we had at work group meeting about exploring and developing a plan for leveraging and creating credits. And so I don't think that's in there.
Nutrient credits.
So the idea there is the county can create a bank of nutrient credits. How do we encourage that? From the county's perspective, having nutrient credits means that we can then buy, if you were, sewer credits from that standpoint. So at the water work session that we had a couple of days ago, that was one of the items that came up. So I didn't think that out, which I apologize if I didn't bring that up earlier. But it's something that you guys said would probably be a good idea.
Yes.
So I don't know how to phrase that.
We're going to have, I guess, a month or maybe a little more. We can look at what you discussed and put something together for.
Just bring it back to us to when we discuss those other two. If there's no more discussion on the comp plan. After that, we will go to new business. So. All right, what's your question?
It's new business.
Okay.
Are we there?
We have new business, and we're going to be talking about the work sessions from 2015. But
there you go. You got it.
Okay. Look up that on the.
Sorry.
genuine list of conflicts are going to be during CIP season and school, particularly the school board. So, one of the things I'm going to do is, we could probably in advance of that next year, either move up the time.
We don't have to schedule work sessions on our calendar anyway, because they don't have to be advertised. So we can do them on a need basis.
We could do it, but just move that to Tuesday.
What?
That would be the other thing, so we're discussing, put them all down.
I think that would be, to me, I like that idea the best.
So just moving on, we need to move them?
Right.
On the agenda, we'll know at least on the advance.
As needed basis.
So we can discuss that at a regular meeting, but we'll move to the work session.
The work session can be done in the short. Going to extra meetings all the time is a lot, so combining is always nice for me. Exactly, was that one meeting, can this be, that makes it more easier. Some of us working now, at least I think the challenge I have for this. But again, we can do that in the, you know, as needed, I'm saying, so, you know, shorter session.
It just kind of, like tonight, we're talking about, we're probably going to get out of close to 9 o'clock, so we're talking about the next 2 hours, but we'd have had a meeting at 5 o'clock. And then you are sometimes not able to extend your work session because it's time to start your regular meeting. So that's one of the other reasons that I just think that we should leave it as it is and just change it to a different date as needed. And like I say, it would be sort of difficult for me to combine things for some reasons. Does anybody have any objection with that?
I don't know.
Okay, that's what we would decide.
We'll come back next work session.
Is there any other work you business we need to discuss? No.
I'm good.
You might want to discuss whether you're going to buy Mr. Zimmer a new sign.
I'm good. But why not?
Before we go to the next second section of public comments, since there's no public here anyway, I want to just thank all y'all for your hard work this year and being diligent and studying the projects and really working on the items that we've had. We've had a lot of tough issues this year and we've all rallied together and were able to accomplish what we're supposed to do. So I just want to thank everybody for that. I want to thank the planning department for all that they do to get the information to us. And Merry Christmas to you all.
Thank you.
Since there's no public here for public comments, if nobody objects, I think we'll adjourn. We'll adjourn. See y'all next year.
You too. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Right.